Boom.
Oh, so in the books for Dexter, Doakes is still a dick, and he hates him. He doesn't feel right about Dexter. He's like, something's off about this fucking guy. Good instincts. He's a fucking good detective, but he's kind of a prick. I mean, Dexter's a fucking serial killer. Yeah. But, you know, I mean, he's a good serial killer. You know, only kills bad people.
The code.
Yeah, exactly. But the thing is, like, I think it's the third book. Dexter goes up against the bad guy, nicknamed the Doctor, and he's a Cuban refugee, basically. But his whole thing is he tortures people in horrific fucking ways. So he plays a game of horse, essentially, right? He picks a word, and then he cuts off parts of you to go along the letters.
Ugh.
But he makes you watch. So the first things he does is he cuts your lips off, your tongue out, and your eyelids off, so you can't scream. You can't close your eyes, and you can't look away. Then he puts you in front of a full-size mirror, so you have to look at yourself, and then he starts dissecting you, and he puts you on this cocktail of chemicals that keep you alive. So basically, spoiler alert, he does this to Doakes.
Oh.
So eventually, Doakes doesn't have a tongue, and he's missing both legs and one arm, or both arms, I can't remember. So he has, like, prosthetics. And so eventually he comes in, because the tongue wasn't completely amputated off, it's like a nub, so he fucks up words like dung dung dung, you know, like super messed up. But he'll talk shit to Dexter still, and like he'll be like dung dung bung, you know, whatever. But like you can hear him coming because you hear the of his legs. Oh, it's fucking creepy, dude. And the show obviously difference is he got blowed up.
Yeah, blown up like a motherfucker.
Yeah, blowed up real good. Know what I mean?
He showed it too, didn't he? Like, he was all fucked up.
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't like that guy, so I wasn't upset.
Yeah, he was a dick. Dick. Yeah, there's a lot of differences in the book. Obviously, there always is, but, like, one of the big things is, like, the fact that the female captain lady dies in the first book.
No.
And then Dexter's brother looks a lot more like him, and people thought it was him. They're like, we caught you on camera being pretty despicable. And it turns out it's his older brother. So, yeah, little things like that, you know, whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Know what I mean, kid? Know what I mean? Hey, business, get at it.
Hey, everybody, welcome to the podcast. Before we get started formally, we want you to do a couple things. First, go to our Facebook page, like and share the Facebook page. Then follow us on Twitter. Our Twitter handle is
@ComesNaturalPod.
Then you head on over to iTunes, you subscribe to the podcast, you rate the podcast, and you review the podcast. And also, do that. It helps us out. Spread the word. Have some fun. Interact with us in the social media world. And now we'll start proper.
One more thing, and we are now on iHeartRadio.
Oh, fuck. Yeah, I forgot.
We are available for, you can search for Comes Naturally. If you type in the word comes, that's C-O-M-E-S, not the disgusting one, but the normal one.
Yeah, get your head out of the gutter.
We will be the first podcast that shows up that I've seen by searching for it. And you can do it through the app or through the website. For those people who can't have their phones at work or have their phones out at work, but they want to listen to it, you now have another option because obviously some places can't install things like iTunes. Mm-hmm. We are on Google Music, but it's really hard to find. There's a link that's just got activated, so you can use that too. Just not searchable through their database, which is dumb, but whatever.
But iHeartRadio is...
iHeartRadio, you search for it, boom, comes up. It's the first one listening to a podcast, and you type in comes, or comes naturally. If you scroll down past the songs and artists and music and stuff, the podcast section will be the second one, and where the number one pops up. Boom, iHeartRadio. Comes naturally, we are...
Mike.
I am Cody, there's no Joe today. Fuck that guy.
I hesitated, I was waiting for a Joe. I was like, where?
We are...
What? We'll just sit here for an hour in silence.
Joe's not here. So no Joe. Just the Mike and Cody show today.
How it was always intended to be.
Yeah. Oh, wait, fuck no. That guy. Oh, we feel bad for him. He ain't got no friends because we're virtual friends. Sorry, that's not true. He has friends.
That's true. We weren't talking about Taj. We were talking about Joe.
Very true. Very true. Mike, would you like to go into Mike's wrestling minute?
All right. Actual minute this time, maybe even less. This is your homework assignment. go look up Joey Ryan, independent professional wrestler. Why is this guy special? Well, he just happens to be the only professional wrestler sponsored by a pornographic website. YouPorn sponsors Joey Ryan. You want to know why YouPorn sponsors Joey Ryan? Watch some of his stuff. He has what they call the YouPorn suplex, where he does a suplex with his penis. Ladies and gentlemen, a suplex with his penis. His penis so strong, be throwing people around in the wrestling rings. Also, he fights women a lot in the world of wrestling, and he does a boobplex to them, where he grabs them by their boobs and suplexes them. So, Joey Ryan, Google it. You won't be disappointed. I'm not stretching.
Oh, come on, man. You're almost a minute.
Where was I?
44 seconds.
Man, I want to keep it tight. That's a tight minute.
No.
That's a tight
minute.
Mike's
wrestling minute.
Well, we're still talking about it right now.
I know. I'm trying to stretch it out. There we go.
Yeah. All right.
Boom, Mike's wrestling minute. Thank you, Mike. And that's brought to you by All Heart Radio.
Oh, they don't want that.
No. They do. All new podcast. Starring Mike. It's less than a minute, but it's a minute-long podcast.
Good 45 seconds most days.
Most days. Some days? Not even that. Wrestling's fun. Go watch it. Speaking of which, wrestling. So, Greg Berlanti, big wrestling fan.
Mm-hmm.
That's just an actual fact. He's a wrestling fan. But Greg Berlanti, if you don't know who that is, he is the mastermind behind the CW's superhero franchise that he is running. Now four shows strong on the CW. They started with Arrow, went to Flash. From Arrow spawned off DC Legends of DC.
Legends of Tomorrow.
Legends of Tomorrow. DC's Legends of Tomorrow. And then obviously over on TBS before, right?
CBS.
Oh, that's right, because it was really odd. Yeah, CBS, they had Supergirl. Supergirl season 2 and now on is now going to be on CW on Thursdays.
Yes.
Same day as
basically
DC Legends, right?
Like, they just own that week now. Like, it's just going to be a superhero.
Middle of the week, yes. Yeah, superheroes, middle of the week is...
Yeah.
Nothing else really aims for middle of the week, like nothing. So it's really good for them, especially genre type shows.
CW knows what's up too. They know half their people are just streaming that shit anyway.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
And
for
so
sure.
Like they're the one channel right now. Like I used to hate on CW all the time. I was like, because all their shit was kind of geared towards
teeny boppers.
Yeah, like
teen drama
teenage
stuff.
Girls and stuff. Like they had like what Pretty Little Liars and like the Vampire Diaries.
Vampire Diaries.
Or something like that.
There was the spinoff from Vampire Diaries. The not the Royals.
This is a bunch of shit that wasn't for us.
Beauty
you know
and the Beast.
I mean? Yeah, just a bunch of stuff that you know, like me and Cody wouldn't watch. And so because of that, when they got Arrow, I didn't even know it was a Green Arrow show. Like it wasn't on my radar at all.
Because I've never watched any CW, so why would you know what it was?
Why would you think? I just saw Arrow, and I was like, that's a weird name. Then turns out, it's the Green Arrow, and I was like, oh, shit. And it was already on to season 2. I was like, well, it got a second season. It might not be that bad. And I watched the first episode. I was like, holy shit, this is really dope, and it's violent, and he's killing people.
Yeah, murdering people.
Damn. And the success of that show spun... all those other shows, which arguably you could say The Flash is actually probably overtaking it as its most important show. Like, it's probably priority number one for CW right now.
Yes.
Which is not a knock on Arrow at all. It just speaks to how good.
But also, I mean, so much. Like, yes, I mean, they've tied all four of those shows have been linked to each other. Flash obviously started in Arrow.
Yeah.
Arrow, Flash actually went over and did a crossover episode with Supergirl on a different channel at the time.
Yeah, which
and they're planning another
of.
One. But it's all because it's Berlantiverse. It's all in Greg's world. He created and executive produced all four shows. Show ran the first two seasons of Arrow. I think partially did season one of Flash and has been helping. He picked the showrunners for the other ones and helped them kind of mold the same teams and everything.
So I've heard. I haven't seen Legends of Tomorrow yet.
I've only seen one episode.
I've heard mixed things on it.
It's not bad.
I'm going to watch it eventually. It's just one of those things I got
to
get to.
To me, it's Joe will argue, but he argues stupid semantics. It's very Doctor Who-ish. And the reason they say this is because it's not a fluent timeline. They jump around in time to different realities, but different like timelines that have been skewed differently. Because of events that have happened, and that's why they're going there to stop it, blah blah blah. But it's very, very Doctor Who-ish. They have a ship that travels through time and things like that. They often wear different outfits to fit into that timeline. It seems pretty cool.
It sounds like a show that would have been like the biggest show on TNT in like 95.
Or on Sci-Fi like 4 years ago.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
It looks good. If you don't know, that whole thing, again, spurred off from Arrow and Flash, but mostly Arrow.
Yeah. Arrow is kind of like their breeding ground for stuff.
Yeah.
Arrow, and for a short live time, I mean, 4 seasons in, they have had everyone on that show at some point in time. Like they don't even do like a villain of the week thing like Flash did this first season. Like,
yeah.
They have
the second season really because they report with the portals.
But it's just weird when you really think back at like all the characters they've come through and introduced and like what I'm still waiting for. I mean, in a world with Ra's al Ghul,
Batman,
there's a Batman.
They mentioned
him. Universe.
They mentioned Gotham. They mentioned the Caped Crusader.
Yeah,
Ra's al Ghul is literally almost mentioned him. Like he's like the detective. I was like,
yeah.
No, not gonna say
it. They've been cock-teasing it for a while, but
yeah. You've seen Wayne Tech stuff. They talk about Wayne Corp, yeah. So it's there. Anyways, so
the reason
I brought this up, not because we want to fucking talk about CW superhero shows, which we do and it's awesome. And in fact, neither of us actually watched Supergirl, but we air quotes plan on it. As soon as it hits Netflix, I'll watch it. Maybe, but. Greg Berlanti, a gentleman that started this conversation, has been very vocal about making other DC stuff. There was rumors that he was going to be involved in Teen Titans show that's now been canceled. Thank God. Because I don't think that worked very well on the televisions. Just because it's outlandish. I mean, obviously, the powers alone, like Beast Boy, Raven always flies, you know, that sort of thing. Starfire's always flying. It doesn't matter. It's not happening now. But he has expressed interest in a little project, Booster Gold. So if you don't know Booster Gold is in the Superman realm of sort of things. Not going to go into details of who it is or whatever it is, but he wants to do it. And they said, hey, cool, you can do a Booster Gold movie. Doesn't have a time frame now, it's just something he's working on. But it has been said by him, in an interview with a magazine by the name of something, Vulture Magazine? Yes, Vulture Magazine. I've never even heard of it myself, but apparently it's really big on stuff like this. So in this interview, he states, as of right now, we have no connection tissue to to those worlds, speaking of the DCEU. It's a standalone thing. It's a separate project. So basically what that means is Booster Gold... It will be a movie as of right now. Could be in theaters. Who knows? Could be even be released to direct the HD or digital, whatever happens to be.
Netflix or something.
Netflix. But it is it's not connected to the Batflex and the Superman, like Man of Steel, the DCEU, as they call it, or this DC Extended Universe. So like the Batman v Supermans, the Suicide Squad, all that. Has nothing to do with that. It is not involved in that world cinematically. Granted, in the comic books, it's drastically linked to those because it's in that world. But it could, if they could spin it properly, could be in a world where Booster Gold is Berlanti versus Superman. Because Berlanti's getting a Superman that's going to be in the Supergirl TV show season 2. But this could be their way of not having to use the big blue Boy Scout and have the Blue and Gold Boy Scout be their version of the Justice League Superman.
Yeah.
In a way.
I know we've had this conversation before. I'm okay. Like, I kind of like the fact that TV and movies are kept separate in these DC worlds. And we're going to have multiples of the same characters, like the Flash and stuff like that. Which seems weird when you think of, like, the success of the TV show. But I'm pretty cool with just letting them do separate things. We have different looks and different feels of them. Same thing. I'm kind of cool if this movie is its own movie. You know, if it is like a theatrical release movie and it's its own thing and it's not really connected and they're just doing their own thing, I'm okay with that. But also, I have a thing where I can process common sense, and I know a lot of moviegoers can't. So they might be all uppity about like, well, why is he in there? And as soon as like one single character crosses over and it's not played by the same person, it's played in a different realm, they're going to piss off. Like, they're going to be super pissed. So, but no, like, I would be cool to see if they do turn him into kind of his, their flagship superhero, and see what that happens. And maybe it's just like an own little franchise of just Booster Gold movies, which would be really weird, but cool, I guess. Yeah, I'm down for it. Let it happen. Let them do it.
I mean, obviously, if you ask me, Berlanti has done beyond gold for CW / Warner Brothers, DC, but bringing, I'm not going to say two underutilized heroes, but cinematically underused superheroes. Yeah. Obviously, their Green Arrow was a weird one to start with, but also didn't have any expectations because, for the most part, on the small screen, the silver screen, whatever I call it, he's not been used. He shows up a little bit in the Justice League cartoon. He was in the Brave and the Bold Batman show a couple times, but really,
Justice
he's
League Unlimited.
Yeah, like, he doesn't really like Robot Chicken. He doesn't really show up as like a mainstay. He's not a Green Lantern. Green Lantern's had his own show. He's been featured in all those properties. Flash has been, he hasn't really had his own cartoon show, but he had his own live action show at one point. We talked about on this because we watched the TV movie. And it has a direct, not a direct link, but like a informal link to the TV show now. But Berlanti has done a good job of bringing the B characters and making them A characters.
Yeah.
Supergirl. Granted, again, I haven't seen it. To me, the previews look not great, but people like it. Not just ladies. Dudes like it. Kevin Smith does not count because he likes a lot of things that are fucking
Patton
weird.
Patton Oswalt.
That's the one that actually,
yeah.
When I think it was when season one, like halfway through,
he started watching it and started tweeting up a storm about it.
So I was like, oh,
Jesus. Like,
okay. That's legit. Because
I was firmly like, nah, I'm not watching this. And the first person to, celebrity-wise, to say anything. Because like I say, Kevin Smith, I'm a huge Kevin Smith fan, but you have to take almost everything he says with a grain of salt because he fucking loves everything. Like that, yeah, that weed has just made him very agreeable. He
cries a lot, man.
Which is cool. I'm happy for him, but it also means I'm not going to take his word for advice stuff. Very, very seriously.
I will listen to what he says.
Yes.
But I'll not run out and do something.
Exactly.
But
what do you think? Because like, he's already kind of created his own Batman and Superman with Arrow and Flash.
That's why I think using Booster Gold as his Superman is a really good idea.
Yeah.
Because Superman is, it's hard, like, even the comic books are hard to make a continuing story go on because he is, A, so powerful. You have to think of other powerful villains that go against him. Little things like that. So it's very hard
to kill him
in
the second movie. You know?
Air quotes, kill him in the second movie. But have you seen the concept art for his return? With the fucking like shadowy beard and the long hair, wearing the fucking black and white suit. Yeah, dude. I was like, what's up? What's going on? But I think it's an interesting look at it because he is very Superman-ish. His suit is outlandish. He can wear his goggles. I mean, whatever. But I think it'd be a clever way of doing it. But what I'm trying to get at is it's hard to do Superman as a series. Like, Smallville ran for so long. But the problem with Smallville is you wanted that motherfucker to fly and wear a blue and red suit. Like, he never really wore the suit. He eventually wore a t-shirt and an overcoat and a fucking duster. You know?
Like, if the guys from Always Sunny wanted to be Superman.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, he never really flew. He jumped.
He flew, like, one time on accident, right?
Yeah, when he had red kryptonite on a ring. So he was evil.
I never got into that show. I couldn't really.
I did because I'm a huge Superman fan, so I was like, I will watch this.
Well, I jumped in the way you're not supposed to. I watched like a few episodes that are like in the middle of the series.
Yeah, like and season 4, episodes 8 through 12.
Well, I watched whichever one they did their Doomsday.
It was later. Yeah, it was way later.
So like, I saw like that unfold, and I was like, well, I don't like this. And I'm like, why isn't Superman flying? Where's his cape?
Where's
what
it?
The yeah. fuck's going on, you know? So
what the fuck is the internet?
Yeah. Did he ever throw the suit on? Even like series finale? Like they didn't even get a shot of him?
No, or? I don't think so.
What a cock, man.
Yeah.
Why not?
And they did think like, they had Aquaman in it, which I think was still like one of the coolest Aquamans because it was fucking Raphael. They had their own Oliver Queen. He was in it.
He had that voice thing, right?
Yeah. He was super cool. They had obviously the Lex Luthor, which to me, like when it first started, I was like, why is Lex Luthor live in Smallville? And I gave it a purpose, but not really a purpose. It also made a reason why he's younger, but is bald. It's because of the radiation from the asteroids during Clark's crash landing caused him to lose his hair, blah, 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 whatever. I enjoyed the show a lot. I, not recently, but about a year or so ago, caught an episode on TNT or TBS or one of the ones that reruns it. And I was like, whoa, rough.
Yeah.
I was like, the production is not so great. Compared to now, it's hard to say. Like now, like CW back then didn't have a lot of money. Like they didn't have Flash and Arrow money, especially Flash money, because like they do full on CG characters, Grodd, Killer, or the Shark,
Killer Croc,
not Killer Croc, the Shark.
Oh, King Shark.
King Shark. Little things like that. Obviously, a CG'd Flash every now and then looks a little, you know.
Yeah, but it's so rare that you're not mad about it. You know what I mean? The only time this last season where I was like, oh, I don't like that, is when he's fighting Zoom in the sphere when they're supposed to be racing. And the second spoiler. The second.
Fuck you.
The second Flash shows up.
Yeah.
Like, that gets a little dicey.
Yeah.
But you're so wrapped up in, like, the emotion of the scene, which... No one on TV right now, I think, like, I'll just stick to superhero stuff. There's no superhero stuff right now that's happening that gets you emotionally invested as well as Flash does.
Flash does such a good job at it.
And every actor is so fucking good. Yep. Like, they're all vets, you know what I mean? Like, outside of...
Ramon, I don't think I've seen in a lot of things. I can't even picture anything he's been in this.
I should say they're all vets. There's so many good vets.
Yeah.
In it, you know, like they're sprinkled throughout, like the guy who plays Joe West, who was on Law and Order for 100 years,
Tom Cavanaugh
is just so good, and like every and he's been on like two seasons and he's played like 14 different people, so yeah, he's so good. And then like Grant Gustin, like that show, you know, lives and dies on him. And he, like, for me, seemingly out of nowhere, I guess he was on Glee? Is that where he's from?
Something like that, yeah.
Like, something weird.
I can look it up, but I'm not gonna.
Where you're like, oh, that dude's gonna be a superhero? And, like, people like me be like, fuck that dude. And then
matter of fact, I think you did.
And then watching it, I was like, well, I was wrong.
Well, I didn't know. Like, I knew.
And Geoff Johns has his hands all over that fucking show. And so that helps.
Yeah, definitely. Him and Berlanti are just like connected to the tips, if you know what I mean, of their fingers. Just don't be tips. Gross. I just open a bunch of the tip. Tip touch my balls. But like the thing about that, and like to your point, like I knew they announced that Barry Allen, the Flash spinoff, they're going to start it off in Arrow. I was like, all right. And then like I heard like they're like Grant Gustin. I was like, I don't fucking this. They're like newcomer Grant Gustin. I was like, cool. Newcomer, I didn't look it up. So if he was from Glee, I did not know that till just this moment when you said something.
Weird. You have a computer, two computers in front of you, and a phone in front of me, and we can't even fucking.
I told you I was going to look it up.
Google some shit.
But you can look it up while I make my point. I instantly, when he was first on screen, the first interaction he had, I was like, oh, they nailed the fuck out of Barry Allen. In a different world, he's a different Barry Allen. Than you've seen in other, especially from the first TV show, but he's a slightly different take on Barry Allen, but like very, very similar to what you want from a Barry Allen. And he was very awkward and nerdy. And then when he got like, obviously, like when he got the powers, they did a really good job of like making him the Flash, which is really fun.
So he did, sorry to cut you off, 8 episodes of the new 90210, and he did 7 episodes of Glee.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So he's a teen drama expert.
Yeah, and he was in a couple other little things, but like that was
those were his big stints.
His reoccurring roles, yeah.
Before obviously becoming the CW's Flash.
The fucking
right. As of right now, the gold standard for Flash on screen.
Oh, yeah.
So, Ezra Miller, you have your fucking work cut out of you, even though I really liked you in the Justice League teaser, and I liked you in your little bit in Suicide Squad. And I mean, can't really say anything about Batman Superman, because, like, you, A, don't talk, and you just run real quick. But
which
whatever
is a lot of what the Flash has to do. So we nailed it.
Nailed it. But I liked his geekiness in that, in the obviously extended clip, because he had the most, you know. Yeah,
it's just fantastic. He was late.
But yeah, so I think they did a really good job. I guess to sum this portion of it up, Berlantiverse is getting their own movie,
and it might be his ideal. Like, we don't know yet, but it might be his plan to keep them separate from now.
It could be. It could be. He says it would be a separate thing, but that, again, this is referencing the DC Extended Universe, but it does not mean it's also, it doesn't mean he's going to bring it in and envelop it
into. If I'm in charge of DC movies or DC TV, there's a handful of people who are, like, at this point, I'm just like, yeah, do what you want. You know what I mean? Like, this is kind of our outline. Like, they're still so early in the process, on at least on the movie side, that they could shift gears. You know, they can, you know, call audibles and let other people helm some shit. But he's, yeah, like, nothing he's done has been bad or unsuccessful, at least. You know, like,
I mean, obviously,
every show has gotten to a season two,
which is more than you can say about a lot of TV shows nowadays.
Like, nothing gets to a season two now. You know what I mean?
Like, and if it does, it's so awful that it has one audience that just sticks with it.
Yeah.
It's so it's good. It's refreshing to see this, but also, like, does really good with them. Like, obviously, like, he found people to do Arrow stuff.
Going into four. Like, who would have thought when Arrow started up? Like. Like, if you would have told me, like, hey, there's this Green Arrow show on the CW, it's going to be on for 4 years at least, I'd be like, a season. Tops.
You're out of your fucking mind.
I was like, 17 episodes out of the 22 before it gets canned. Like, there's no way it lasts. And it lasts. And it set the tone, honestly, better than any movie universe has really set the tone, you know? And I think the fact that they're on TV is forced them to be more creative and lean more on
acting
and personality and emotional ties, because they don't have that budget to go out and, you know, Flash wasn't doing King Shark episode one. You know what I mean? Like, it did some shit. Like, it earned your respect first before it started busting that out. And by the way, I could say, you know, Flash, Quicksilver, two different worlds, blah, blah, blah. Flash running on the TV show 1,000 times better than Quicksilver running in the X-Men movies.
Yes.
Because that shit looks fucking ridiculous.
Yeah.
It looks awful.
A, his costume looks horrendous.
Yes.
Like, it makes no sense. And B, I don't like their version of him.
No.
I don't like the look of him. I think he needs to be...
It's just the close-up, the close-up, and then the face, like, no, man. Like, It just looks bad. It's like, that's what I expected the TV version to look like.
Yeah.
Like, if the TV version did that, I'd been like, it's TV. I had a little built-in excuse for it. But, like, the X-Men movies, motherfucker, y'all got all the money.
Yeah.
Like, make better shit than that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
But
Fox.
Basically, the whole point of the story is X-Men movies are awful now. Please stop making them or just reboot them completely.
When you reboot,
I knew I'd get to a point to say that in almost every podcast from here on out.
Speaking of which.
Yes.
Speaking of X-Men movies.
Ugh. Yes.
Did you see the pictures of Shocker from Spider-Man Homecoming?
It looked awful, right?
Shocker? Did you see the pictures?
I didn't see the pictures.
Oh, my God, dude. It looked amazing. Yeah.
Did it? Really?
He looked right out of the fucking comic books, dude. The yellow, diamond shapes on there. He had the gauntlets. He had the fucking crazy vest.
Shocker's been one I've been waiting for, because my Spider-Man knowledge all stems from, much like Batman, the animated series in the mid-90s, which I loved a lot, and Shocker was very prominent on that show, and he was one of my favorite bad guys. So I'm super stoked that they announced he's in it.
Gonna show you a picture.
Have they showed Vulture yet?
No.
Mm.
And this is him on set, not filming. Okay. But this is what looks like he's walking down a set of stairs. I'll show you the pictures. But like, it's dope, man. It's he looks fucking sick. Boom. showing Mike the picture right now. So if you Google or Bing, whichever you want to do.
You just say Bing?
Yeah.
why'd you do that?
It's a work thing.
Sorry.
If you type in.
Why are you plugging your shitty stuff?
Yeah. Hey, Bing does some cool stuff. Anyways, if you type in shocker, just don't hit enter. That'll bring up some wrong things. If you type in shocker, Spider-Man Homecoming. It did separate Spider-Man as two words. I think I didn't do that. But it'll bring you up, and it's like one of the first pictures you see, and you see him walking downstairs, and like he legit looks like the comic book.
A little loose, though. Like baggy, kind of.
Yeah,
bit.
In a way. But like, it looks, I mean, it's dope. Like he's got the,
it's the,
you know,
yeah,
the like, gauntlets and the mask, I think, what actually does it. But this is the guy playing him.
That guy, really? That guy is like a,
an actor?
Like a vet. Yeah, yeah, he's been around. He was in the Mod Squad.
Yeah, here's a.
Was it? No. Was he in the Mod Squad? Am I being racist? I
think I'm
being
racist. Might be racist, yeah. So that's a full body shot of him.
The big hit. Using the big hit. That's the one I was talking about.
So.
All right. I'm okay with that. Yeah. I mean, I'm not.
It's not a spandex suit, you know, but like I think it's obviously has some kind of usage.
If that's like the first version of it.
Yeah, it might be.
It's 100% perfect.
Yeah. But I think he's more of like a. He's
like a secondary.
A secondary, like.
Street.
Not
guy.
A throwaway. One, but like obviously he's big into he's a big part of the Sinister Six, so knowing that he's in it,
Vulture's
in it, that's obviously forming a Sinister Six, which what Sony wanted to do right away with the newer ones with Andrew Garfield, like that's what they're planning. Obviously, they got scrapped when they abandoned that franchise.
It's pretty impressive how like a part two can be so bad. That they pull the plug on shit they're already like scouting locations for.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like they already, not a lot of money, but already had money into. That's nuts.
But the cool thing is like this is, obviously, this is starting to show very, we've already seen Spider-Man and what he's going to look like, how he's going to work. Thank you, Civil War. But seeing this definitely helps me imagine what more of this is going to look like.
Yeah.
And see that they're trying to expand in on its own little Spider-Man universe.
Do you see that John Favreau is going to be in it?
Yeah, it's happy.
Happy?
Yeah.
That was pretty dope.
Yeah.
He's going to have some stuff from Tony for him. It's going to be nice. Yep.
It's going to be a nice little thing. But there's, so far, four rumors so far, or four villains rumored for the movie. You have Shocker, which I didn't know until these pictures showed up, and I was like, well, obviously, he's on set with the actual team, yeah. So like I know that's in there. Vulture's been brought
confirmed.
Up.
I thought confirmed.
Well, confirmed as I think, not the maybe the main villain, probably.
But a villain.
But a villain. Hopefully it's Michael Keaton. Yeah. I still think Michael Keaton would be a very good J. Jonah Jameson,
yeah.
But that's just me. Who was it? Scorpion. And the Tinkerer were the four that were supposed to be so far rumored to be in the movie.
Okay.
I think a lot of it's going to be like a montage type thing, like seeing him do his thing and like growing more into his abilities. Because obviously, he even said in Civil War, I've never done this before. And yeah. We've seen we see the YouTube video, as he says, the not real video, of him stopping a car. He's wearing a sweater and like a ski mask with goggles. Tony upgrades his suit, obviously. Spoiler super alert. Dope. Super dope. Gives
animated
him the,
fucking eyes.
Yep.
Thank
animated
you,
eyes.
Movie.
Yep. And then a reason to have animated eyes too.
Yeah.
Not just somehow magic with animated eyes.
I didn't really give a fuck.
But it's nice that you
I would have just taken the excuse of movie magic for that one.
Like
it
Deadpool.
Cool. Yeah.
Because Deadpool doesn't have real eyes. He has the plasticky eyes, but they are emotional and they move around. So they don't go like, wah! Big, yeah. But, you know, it looks dope for real. They give it a reason to have it, which is super cool. But like, it looks like they're kind of fleshing out his world to be bigger.
No.
Obviously, having Happy in it, Tony's supposed to be in it, Robert Downey. So it's just like, obviously, he's part of the world of the cinematic universe now, officially. It just looks like they're building his own little Spider-Verse in there, too, to play around with. So, makes me happy. I think he looks dope. I think it looks like a very, like, kind of put-together type thing. But obviously, I don't want it to look like spandex for Shocker.
Yeah, for sure.
But mean, the loose list, whatever, but I think it's basically because it's supposed to be more of a real world application. So it's like it's a shockproof outfit, so he doesn't kill himself when he's using his gauntlets, grounds him and stuff. But I think it looked dope. It looks very, very similar.
I gotta say, I was super excited about how Electro looked. You know, and then, but yeah, Spider-Man 2, real bad. New Spider-Man movies gonna be awesome. Thank you, Marvel.
Yep.
Thank you, Sony, for realizing you suck.
Now there's just one other company.
Come on, Fox, give it up, bitch.
Yep. So I think doing a Sinister Six without, I mean, because Sinister Six, if you guys don't know, Sinister Six doesn't have Venom, doesn't have Carnage, doesn't have those quintessential nemeses of Spider-Man. It has six lesser, not going to say lesser because they're still villains, but like they're not as powerful to his Spider-Man. You know what I mean? Like they're not as hard for him to go against. So to have those, like the Green Goblin, Vulture, Shocker, whatever, like those individually is harder for them to be able to beat Spider-Man, but six of them together was going to give him more of a challenge. You know what I mean? Yeah. So it's nice to see that's kind of like the idea behind it. It's like a Sandman. I'm going to go back to Raimi's third one. Sandman's more of a harder foe to take care of because he can manipulate himself into like a more dangerous situation, make himself into his fist into a giant hammer, grow to, you know, 20 stories tall, that sort of stuff. The Shocker just shoots electricity. So that's pretty cool to have like that smaller kind of band of guys that go together. So it'd be interesting to see how much of that is actually true. Is he more of a, not a throwaway character, but like a secondary type thing in this one, kind of like Rhino was in the second?
I just get the vibe he's gonna be like a street level criminal. You know,
I think
Duke
just has a little bit of tech, you know, stolen from most likely
something that maybe like one of the Netflix shows can work into. Yeah, later, exactly. You know, something that Daredevil has to maybe tangle with in season 3.
Even though they need to fucking have Bullseye. I could have swore Bullseye was going to show up in season 2.
I thought so too.
Because the Irish were there. I know he's not Irish in the comic books. But I was
Colin
like,
Farrell.
But well, they referred to it as like this Farrell's. Hitman guy's coming in. And I was like, oh, they're going to call Hitman in. Guess who the most deadly Hitman in all of Daredevil's little world is? Fucking Bullseye. No, just a crazy Irishman. Okay. My bad. Jumped the gun. I'm sorry.
Well, calm down, fat man. We'll get there.
Shut up, you fat piece of shit. Like, well, first off, that's mean.
Goddamn Netflix, man. Yeah. What the fuck?
Yeah. Here's a little thing. Jason Momoa is the next contestant to go ka-ka-ka on The Crow. We heard about it a while ago.
Yeah.
But it looks like he sat down and talked with some people.
This is the only actor I've heard where I was like, yes, remake The Crow. It was with Jason Momoa.
So that's interesting.
You either go someone like Jason Momoa, who's like just super badass and like has that real life believability as badass.
Yeah.
Or you go way off the rails and pick someone you would never ever fucking imagine. You know what I mean? Like none of that middle ground shit. You have to go one way or the other.
Nope. Fuck that middle ground bullshit. Fuck that middle ground bullshit.
Yeah.
Let's see. What other news can we talk about? Did you see the the concept art for some of the characters from Beauty and the Beast live action?
Live action? No. Yeah.
They had the Clockworth and...
Oh, and Luminaire?
The candlestick guy.
Yeah.
It looks super fucking like Guillermo del Toro.
Yeah. That's exactly what I was, I was all like, Pan's Labyrinth. Like,
yeah, like it's concept art, so obviously it could change quite a bit, but...
I thought it was first look.
It was first look at concept art. Like, full-on concept art, yeah. Because we haven't seen anything. We literally have not seen anything at all other than CG, like, or not CG, but, like, fancied-up mansion, like, castle stuff.
Yeah, I'm actually pretty excited about that.
I'm super excited. Again, I think we talked about this before. Did you watch Cinderella?
No.
Did you watch what's his name's? The guy from Thor?
No.
Kenneth Branagh's Cinderella? Okay. I haven't watched either.
I didn't.
I'm going to. Jungle Book, Fucking phenomenal.
It was really, really good. Available on iTunes. Go get it.
What?
Now available on iTunes.
It is now available on iTunes. And I think DVD and Blu-ray, but don't buy physical media. Don't be dumb. Yeah.
Don't do that.
Don't be dumb. But like, yeah, so I'm like super, like, I'm kind of excited. Beauty and the Beast is still one of my favorites from the animated ones. I still think like Aladdin would be like the best thing ever, but that's just me. But you, I mean, really, again, we talked about this before. It's really hard to get someone to redo Genie as good, if not better, than Robin Williams, because he really made the Genie like what that movie was all about.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I mean, that's really was. So it's going to be hard. So we'll hold off on that. But something like Sword of the Stone would be dope. You know, that sort of stuff. But yeah, man, so far, that little sneak of the mansion castle thing, whatever you want to call it, for Beast, and like the rundownness and like Beauty's or Belle's, the shadow running around, and then you see the flower, the rose inside the little glass thing with the petal falling off, which is super dope. You saw claw marks and shit. You saw a painting of a
Emma
dude.
Watson's great too.
Emma Watson's fantastic.
Like, she's probably the best actress that I feel like she needs to be talked about more.
She needs to do more stuff too, but I think she's also like, because Harry Potter took up a lot of her time.
Yeah.
She's done a few smaller things, like a bunch of art stuff, like art movies or whatever. Nothing I've seen. Like, I've seen her in one thing.
I watched the one where she was that, like Kardashian type bitch. What was his name?
Oh yeah, I know what you're talking about. I can't think of the name of it.
I didn't love the movie. I didn't hate it though, which I thought I was gonna hate it. I didn't hate it. I didn't love it, but she did a phenomenal job. She did a really good job of Noah. Noah was another one where I thought it was gonna kind of suck, but man, when you have good actors doing their thing.
Rock Angels.
But yeah, man, I'm pretty excited about that. Josh Gad is LeFou.
Yep.
Which is pretty much the world's most perfect casting, if you really think about it. But I don't know, homeboy, Dan Stevens. Who is this guy? He's playing the Beast.
He's been in a few things. I'm sure if you look at his IMDb list of stuff. Did you see, speaking of why you're looking it up, did you see the picture that James Gunn posted on his Instagram and Facebooks and all that fun stuff about the Groot script? So he gives, for people who don't know, there's a script that everybody gets. Then there's scripts just for the character and the scenes that they're in, because obviously they don't need a whole script with stuff for scenes that they're not in, but they want to have it overall. So a lot of actors will only choose to have their script, which is just the stuff for them and the people, the scenes that they're in. James Gunn goes a little farther. This dude writes a Groot script, right? Gives it to Vin Diesel. Obviously, you're saying, well, Vin Diesel just says, I am Groot. A lot, right? So this motherfucker went through and rewrote it in English so Vin Diesel will know how to do the inflection and know what he's meaning.
Oh, wow.
For the Groot lines. What? So in that conversation, and he did this for the first movie too.
Oh wow!
So that that thing where like Rocket, like you're like, oh, you know, like Rocket can understand him, but like, does he really? No, like that proves like this, like saying that he's put so much thought into it. It's not just the I am Groot thing.
It makes me feel better that I cried in that scene then, knowing that there is an actual message.
Yep. So yeah, and they talk like there's. I didn't read the article because I kind of want Guardians 2 to be like more of a
surprise
in certain things, but like he talked about like how he met with Vin Diesel and like went over like obviously that script, and he talked about how he's gonna be baby Groot through this movie, so he won't be full size Groot for maybe even like the whole thing, but like a lot of the concept art you see baby Groot riding on Drax's shoulder and stuff, you know, like that. So it'd be interesting to see like how that works out.
Not in a pot though. He's outgrown.
Yeah,
the
he's
pot.
Out. Yeah, he's like this. He's is got the picture. Legs, he's, like, and legs, stuff. And he's walking around like he looks like Groot, but like a baby.
And
Groot.
Also, he has gone on record saying he violently murders some people in this movie.
Yeah, he violently murdered some people in the first one. If you saw,
and
it or
then
not.
The adorable smile afterwards,
the childlike wonder in his eyes. It just fucking mutilated like those 19 people in that hallway. Where he stabs them, just
fucking whipped them around.
Yep. That sort of stuff, you know, whatever.
That was Groot's version of puny god for the Hulk, you know what I mean? Like,
I was looking for other stuff to talk about. Dude, Magnificent Seven. I'm so excited. I just want to see this movie now.
So on board. Like,
makes me fucking mad. We're so far away, but we're not far away. It's like that point where, like, I'm excited because it's only a few weeks away, but I'm pissed off because we're only a few weeks away. Yeah. It's like, why can't we just, once you get to September, can I just have these movies? Like, just give them to me to watch.
Yeah.
No? It's not, I have to wait
That's
for that
how
day?
That should work.
Go fuck yourself. Pick a month. When that month comes,
done.
Give it to me. Yeah. It's over in
done.
Toronto Film Festival right now.
It's available.
People have seen it.
Let everyone see it.
Let me see it.
Why are you doing it?
Why are those Canadians so goddamn special?
Hey.
I'm not Canadian. Hey. I'm not special, apparently.
Stupid.
Yeah, some bullshit. I watch movies. I enjoy them.
I watch a lot of movies.
Yeah. 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 What else? There's something else I want to talk to you about, too, besides that stuff. Pictures of Gabriel Luna on the set of Agent Shield as Ghost Rider. Looks pretty cool. You haven't seen him with the mat with the face yet.
Do you see the little viral video they released of, like, somebody, you know, found footage type video thing?
The car driving.
Are you a little disappointed they did the car and not the bike?
I kind of am, but I kind of not also, because I want, because the bike Ghost Rider seems like a darker character, and I kind of want that to be a Netflix thing.
We're never going to get it now. You realize that, right?
Go fuck yourself. But I also want, like, a Ghost Rider, like, world. Yeah. Like, I want the multiple Ghost Riders, and I want their enemies, but that's why I want the Netflix show, because it'll be fucked up and they'll kill people.
I still want Sam Elliott in it, though.
Okay, I'll let you have that one. Just the only problem is that means you're linking those.
No. He can play a different character.
He could. Yeah, I'm saying
he could be the Ghost Rider. I'm dope with that.
Well, he was the Ghost Rider. I don't know.
He can be like the main character Ghost Rider.
He's already on Netflix.
He's got a relationship with those people.
Yep. I'm on a Netflix show. I still have not finished watching that show because it kind of made me mad.
Well, there's that show is so weird. The Ranch? Ranch,
yeah. The Ranch.
The Sam Elliott, Ashton Kutcher TV show on Netflix had some laugh-out-loud moments and then had just horrible stage sitcom-y bullshit happen. And it was like, it was one of those shows where you're like, okay, there's enough good in this one episode to watch a second episode. We watched the second episode, and it's like the exact same amount of really good and then really bad. And then we watch the third episode, and we're like, it's not changing at all. I think this is the show. I think it's either a lot of really good and a lot of really bad. Like, it's fucking 11 minutes of hilarious and then 11 minutes of, you know, audience applause, laughing, and bullshit fucking. It was just weird, man. I don't understand it. Hopefully they clean it up in the second one.
Maybe.
Probably won't, though.
I don't know, man. I forgot they're making.
I almost feel like if we don't watch it, Danny Masterson's never gonna get work again. You ever get that feeling? You ever watch something just because you're like, I kind of
really
like
want
this
guy to do something? Yeah, almost ended with Brandon Routh.
Yeah,
because I like that guy. I think he finally found.
I watched Dylan Dog because I was like, I want Brandon Routh to work
exactly.
Kind of like Dylan Dog too.
Dylan Dog was fun.
Yeah,
it's one of those fucked up ones.
Nobody else watched it.
Yeah, like, there was like 14 people, and I think four of those were Brandon Routh and his friends.
Yeah. They're like, oh, fuck you.
I am, though, I will say this about Dylan Dog. I am upset I didn't get to see it in theaters. I think it would have been a good movie. Like, it would have been a fun movie to see on the big screen.
Yeah.
But I did enjoy a lot of it. I enjoyed all of it, really, because it's like a super fucked up movie in a way, but without being like exploitation-ish, you know, like super over-the-top violent. But I think it was fun. He was really good in it. He's really good in Arrow / DC Legends of Tomorrow, that sort of thing. So, you know, I'm okay with it. What are some of the other actors like you're surprised aren't bigger stars? Like, Giovanni Ribisi seems like he should be someone who is everywhere.
It's because it's him personally, though.
Is that what it
is,
you think?
That's the issue. This is one of those weird Scientology guys.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter.
No,
everywhere.
No, but like the weird one.
Oh, he's like hard.
And he's a method actor too, which turned a lot of people off.
He's a method actor. That means that fucking freaky shit from Ted and Ted 2.
Well, I don't know how that works.
Pedophile.
But there is stories floating around of him walking around acting like he had Down syndrome for My Sister's Keeper, which is like, you're an actor. You can get into that on set. You don't have to go around public doing that.
Yeah, you don't have to ride the bus counting potatoes.
Mm.
I think that's what they do.
More so than Giovanni Ribisi, I think.
That's the one.
My brain's not working right today. The guy, he's doing those shitty DirecTV commercials now, but he's a really good actor. He was the manager in Cinderella Man. He was in Shoot 'Em Up. He was in...
Paul Giamatti?
Yeah.
He's on New DirecTV, does CenturyLink.
CenturyLink, whatever.
Yeah.
Still same shit. Stupid fucking TV service commercials. But he's great.
Paul Giamatti's fantastic and everything.
And what?
And he does weird shit. Like, he was in John Dies at the End, the movie.
Yeah, for like a little bit.
No, he's in it quite a bit.
Oh, is he?
He doesn't play like through the whole movie, but yeah. he's a main character. Like, he's being narrated to. But it's like, dude, like, you're Paul Giamatti. Like, you're in Shoot 'Em Up. You touched a dead lady's boob.
But he's really good. Like, he's a great actor.
He's great people.
I feel like what fucked him is his, like, one big I'm carrying a movie opportunity was the M. Night Shyamalan movie, and that fucked him, Lady in the Water.
Oh, that's right. I forgot.
Like, that's...
I always forget that one.
That was, like, his movie. Like, that was...
It was his movie to lose his career in, for sure.
And, like, he didn't lose his career, but I don't think anyone... And this is not... Studio people are stupid, but
we've talked about
thought process is, well, he had a lead, you know, he was the guy in this one, and didn't make money, so must be his fault, you know, avoiding to look at the fact that you're somehow still letting M. Night Shyamalan make movies, but you're going to punish the cast members for all their shitty performances. I mean, Jesus Christ, if you look back at the A-listers in his movies... And how awful they've been, you know? Like, I wasn't even a big Signs guy. I was, like, that's where I started to sour. I was like, I'm not a big fan of Signs. I mean, fucking Mel Gibson, Joaquin Phoenix. Like, Mel Gibson before all the crazy.
Before the racist tyrants.
And Joaquin Phoenix is one of the, another guy, should be way bigger than he is.
Very, very valid.
But, you know, I don't know. I feel like what I want to do more so when I win all the money is, like, more so than, like, help people and build schools and feed the
which
the,
I'm not going to do hungry. Any of.
I want to give a good shot to good actors. I just want to let them do their thing.
Unless they're nutballs.
John Goodman's another one.
Yeah, that's actually a really good point. John Goodman's one of those dudes that you see him and stuff, like, why aren't you bigger than you
you're
are?
You're great, like, in everything. Jen was watching fucking Coyote Ugly.
Yep.
It's not a good movie.
No.
The monologue John Goodman gives when he's in the hospital bed to his daughter, it's fucking fantastic, dude. Like, that dude, you give him some well-written shit to read, and he'll fucking deliver.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Like, even in a movie that's okay at best. You know what I mean? And fucking nailed it. He's great. Doesn't get his own movies.
Roseanne's what ruined him.
But, like, why doesn't he get his own movie? You know what I mean? Like, that would be a guy, if I'm Netflix, if I'm trying to look at my next, you know, Netflix show, and I know he had some kind of weird show on Amazon where he was, like, a politician, it was, like, that was his lead role and shit, and he's had lead stuff, but I'm like, oh, Netflix, AMC, give this man a TV show, you know what I mean? Let him...
Did you ever see Death Sentence?
Yes.
He was fantastic in that.
Amazing in that.
Until fucking Baby Tron shot him in the back of the fucking head.
Yeah, yeah, he did.
Yeah, he's a good one. I was gonna say Sam Rockwell.
He's great.
He's great in everything.
I think the common thread between the people that we want to see bigger are the people who make what they want to make.
It's very true.
So that might be part of the problem. Is they're turning down.
Like, I say this, like, John Goodman has not struggled for work.
No.
Sam Rockwell has not struggled for work.
No.
Paul Giamatti has not struggled for work.
No.
But I
feel like all those guys, every couple years, should have one of the highest grossing movies in the country. You know what I mean? Like, or, you know, like, all of them should be in the top 10, in, at least in a couple year cycle, you know? Like, but nope.
It should be one of those things where it's like, oh, look, another John Goodman movie.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, he does make, I mean, I haven't seen all the John Goodman movies in the world.
I've seen all of them.
Probably not.
I saw Electric Mist.
Okay, there you go. Yeah, there you go. Wasn't he also in that Denzel Washington movie, Fallen? Fight? No, Fallen.
Oh, Fallen. Yeah, he was amazing in Fallen
because he was his partner, right?
Yeah, yeah. And he gets taken over at the
end. Oh, he's in Flight too. Yeah.
Again, though. Again, the scene where he's being
the serial killer.
Yeah, where that's him and he's in the forest. And
by the way, it's an angel, Fallen Angel. If you use
spoiler. And he's talking shit to and he's singing the song and then like everything about that scene. Fucking perfect, dude. It could not have been performed any better. Give John Goodman all the work.
Denzel Washington's another interesting guy, too. He has done, obviously, very large movies. But he's also done, there was a stretch where, like, he disappeared, but he didn't. Like, he did a bunch, like, Fallen's one of them, Ricochet.
Ricochet's so good.
Fuck, do we need to chain him to the bed?
Yeah.
Like, the hookers sleep with him, and they're like,
give him. Like AIDS, right?
No,
it wasn't AIDS. It didn't go full
syphilis
blown AIDS.
Or something like that. Yeah, not full blown AIDS. You have full blown AIDS.
That's another one where you're like John Lithgow is like another guy. We're like, well, John Lithgow should be popping up a little bit more often than it's popping up. Like when he was in Dexter, people were like, holy shit, John Lithgow's amazing. I'm like, yeah, you see this character? Go back and watch Ricochet. Fantastic.
Yeah, because even Ricochet makes the one from Dexter look like goddamn school mom. Yeah,
or even his performance, you have to understand what kind of movie it is in the time frame. But in Cliffhanger,
yeah,
when he's playing evil, like
Buckaroo Banzai,
he plays evil motherfucker.
Yep, Harry Henderson's just kidding. He plays the dad.
Well, he tells him to leave and makes him punches him. Get out of here! Nobody wants you. I didn't cry during that at all.
Did. You crying right now?
I might be a little.
When Jack Donaghy watches that and like starts referring to everything as a Harry Henderson type thing.
Well, and he tells Judah.
Yeah.
To go away. And Judah's like.
So funny.
That Liz goes in that episode.
Yeah, I know. That's the best part because that's like the whole thing. They always do that in 30 Rock. Like the Seinfeld vision thing.
Yeah.
Like Jerry solving people's problems.
Michael Keaton was like the janitor.
Yeah.
Like later on. It's like, okay. Keaton is another one I would have said a couple years ago. I love Michael Keaton.
Michael Keaton's another one that disappeared too.
Fuck, I can't remember anything today. The Squatter movie, the one where he rents that shit from like Matthew Modine, I think.
Oh yeah, yeah, okay, I understand. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I could probably look
Pacific
it up.
Heights.
Yeah, Pacific Heights.
I guessed. I might not be right.
Oh, hold on.
And then the alcoholic one.
God. Not how you spell Michael at all.
You should ask me.
Do you know how to spell Michael?
Doubtful. But he was one of those guys, like, he was doing serious shit before Batman. He got Batman. People were like, oh, Michael Keaton. And then, like, what did he really do after Batman?
That's Pacific Heights.
Yeah. He's creepy as fuck in that movie, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, bad creepy.
It's true.
Pacific, you imagine if they made Pacific Heights today with how bad like those suspense horror movies are now, how good that movie would play today?
It's true.
Like there's nothing coming out like that that's that good, you know?
Or Jack Frost. Sorry.
Maybe that's why he went away.
There was a 2-year gap after that.
But there's like weird shit that he did. Like
he did a bunch of weird shit.
Yeah.
First daughter.
When he did White Noise, which
I thought was gonna bring him back.
That's truly what I was thinking. I was all like, fuck yeah, dude. Because White Noise, it wasn't great, but it was good enough. I was like, yeah, dude.
Because White Noise at the end, you know? Came around the same time as like Mothman Prophecies and like a lot of those weird.
And I think that was better than a lot of them.
Yeah.
You know?
Wasn't great.
Wasn't great. To watch it. Like, I can watch it. If it's on TV, I don't have a problem watching it.
So if you had to pick top five of Mothman Prophecies, White Noise, Hollow Man. I'm trying to think of the other ones that are in that same realm. We'll just say those ones. Which one of those do you like better? Those are three, like, older actors. And not older actors now, but not that, like they were younger then. And everyone was younger then. Of those three. So which one do you think? Do you ever see Mothman Prophecies? With what's his balls? The hamster guy?
Yeah.
Triple guy?
Yeah.
American Gigolo? I almost said Gene Hackman. It's a whole different movie. You know, French Connection?
you know.
Like, Moth and Prostitute was cool, but I don't know if I liked it
that
much.
That was more in that boat. I think out of those three, I like White Noise the best. Yeah. Hollow Man's probably second.
Hollow Man.
There's a weird amount of camp to it, though.
Yeah.
For as serious as it is.
The shitty CG water footprints.
Yeah.
Ugh, so bad. It's like, that's not water. That is, like, moldable glass.
But, I mean, but that you also think, like, just a couple years later, like, that's when we got Stir of Echoes.
It's true.
Like, how fucking good is Stir of Echoes?
It's true.
Like, that movie's great.
A lot of those movies in that time frame, though, that were, like, in 2005.
Because there's always certain people. Like, Michael Keaton's one of those guys when Birdman came out and it did great, I was like, yes, thank you. Because now he's fucking right up there. I mean, he's doing a fucking Marvel movie. You know what I mean? Like when that took off, I was like, all right. And then he did Newsroom, and it was good, and it got all the awards. I'm like, great. He's doing awesome shit now. Like, he should be. I think we're going to see a little bit of resurgence of some of these older actors. Just because, I mean, I've jokingly talked about this before, but just go American actors under the age of 35 right now. Like, it's not a lot, dude.
No.
There's not a lot to note. And I'm not saying there's no good ones. There's got to be great ones that just haven't gotten their shit yet. You know what I mean? And they're gonna eventually, and they'll do good. But I think because of that, remember, like, Hollywood always had, like, this thing, like, it's a young man's game, it's a young woman's game, you know what I mean? When a girl gets a certain age and they stop looking the way they should be looking, all of a sudden other actresses start coming.
Early 2000s was, like, the heyday of modern horror, right?
Yeah.
Jesus, I didn't realize.
It was great. And then, like, what, 2006-ish? It was just like...
I think 2007 it, like, started to fall apart, too.
Like, Saw 3 is what killed it.
I think it was, like, Saw 4 actually killed it.
I'm going to go with 3.
Yeah, because like in 2000, top five horror movies, all right, you have Final Destination, like the OG, like the original, Final Destination, not the American Psycho, Scream 3, Ginger Snaps, and What Lies Beneath.
What Lies Beneath is underrated.
Yeah, that for sure. Good. So like those five, and then you also had like...
There's three high quality ones in those five.
Yeah.
You give me the last 10 horror movies that were released, and there's not a one of them as good as those top three.
And there's, granted, every year there's a shit ton of awful ones that come out. So
but there's no good
that.
Ones anymore, I don't think. I don't even, well, I mean, that's not fair. I don't watch them because I think they all look like hot trash. But
there's a lot of them that are hot garbage. But like that same year, you had Blair Witch 2.
Mm-hmm.
You had Urban Legends Final Cut, which is like one of the worst franchises for horror movies, really.
Because that one, that piggy, like Scream was like, oh, everybody loves Scream. Let's make more of these. Because
you had
young
Scream, you
killed.
Had I Know What You Did Last Summer, like those ones, those teen horror ones.
Scream was really, really good. I Know What You Did Last Summer was all right. Urban Legends was a little rough.
Yeah.
Scream was dope, though.
Oh, Hollow Man was 2000 as well. So, I mean, the thing is, like, early 2000s, I'm looking at this. I think I knew this, but I didn't know it. Like, there's a lot of them. There was a bunch. Then there's, like, obviously there's a bunch of sequels and stuff in there. But you had a bunch of, like, independent ones that are good. Jeepers Creepers 2.
First Jeepers Creepers.
Yeah.
So simple. Shouldn't be as intense as it is, but they pull it off somehow.
Darkness Falls. You ever see that one?
Yeah.
That one's fucking terrifying. Yeah. Stupid lighthouse at the end. Like, no. No. You go up and turn that light on. You have, like, the first of the remakes of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Unfortunate Freddy versus Jason. But you know.
Not a hater.
It got
not
worse.
A hater on that one, sir.
I am. It's no Jason 10.
X.
Or X. Yeah.
Jason 10.
So you think 2008, you think is where it started to fall off?
I think we stopped getting good ones. I mean, with the exception of the first like three Paranormal Activities, I don't think there's any good horror movies in the last decade.
2000 actually had a bunch of decent ones, but it had a bunch of shitty ones. Like, you had The Eye. Remember Jessica Alba?
Yeah.
She got the serial killer eyes.
No good.
No good. Or Eye. But that same
was
year,
was that one
though,
with Vincent D'Onofrio and Jennifer Lopez?
The Cell?
Ugh.
That was 2000.
Hated that.
It was fucked up.
It's fucked up. But it just, like...
But 2008 so did have one of my favorite horror movies ever, though.
Really?
The Strangers.
I didn't see The Strangers.
Has your boy Dennis in it.
Mayhem?
No.
That Dennis?
No.
What Dennis?
Dennis Reynolds.
Oh, really?
He gets a shotgun to the face.
Oh.
All over the wall. Mm. But it's based on Charles Manson.
Okay.
So back in the day, if you guys don't know, Charles Manson, who never killed anybody, but they can prove, but talked a lot of people into killing many people, had these followers that would go out and they would just torture and kill people. And this is what it's about. These strangers show up to this house and they terrify these people and then eventually kill them. And it's a terrifying movie. Has great audio, by the way, too, if you're an audio nerd like I am. But Saw 5 came out in 2008.
Yeah,
but no, so did Cloverfield. Anymore. Cloverfield came out the same year. Midnight Meat Train came out. That movie was fucked up.
Fucked up, but is it good?
Yeah, it's good. It's like one of those hardcore like horror movies, though.
It's
a monster movie, really.
Yeah. I feel like if you list off your favorite scary movies, like you're reaching back. You know what I mean? Like you're not pulling anything recent. Maybe we'll talk about this next time we record. We'll have some time.
Boom.
But maybe we'll set that up since we're about to wrap up right now.
We're
going to do some scary movie research, folks. That's what we're going to do. We're going to do top five horror movies.
Top five horror movies.
Coming soon. Well, this will still be next week. Right?
No, this
will be. Because this is going to be in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So next week
from now. So basically giving us
two weeks. When you listen to this, the next week. We will be doing, and we'll stick to this. I know we don't, but this is going to be an interesting topic. Top five horror movies. It's going to happen. And they have to hold up today.
Ooh.
They have to hold up.
Okay.
You have to still like them.
Okay.
Goodbye, Nightmare on Elm Street.
Yeah.
1 through 7.
1 through all of them.
All right.
Boom. All right. That's it for this week's episode of Comes Naturally. We are
Mike.
I am Cody. And as usual, you motherfuckers just came naturally.